Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and I want to give you something to think about. God has no problem with communicating with his creation. What I mean by this is when God wants to get your attention, he will. When God wants you to tell a story, you'll tell it like he wants you to tell it. You will have no doubt in your mind that it's from God because it will line up with his word. When somebody gets on and tells you they really don't know, they hope that you get it, they hope that it ministers to you, it's really not of God. He's already telling you, or she's already telling you, it's of their imagination. It is not God. God is not the author of confusion. And he is not wishy-washy. Trust me, read the Bible. When he wants to get his point across, he'll get it across and you'll know that it's God. Think about it. It's Pastor Jay. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
I think we're in chapter 25. I think. Heavenly Father, we come right now, God. We just bless you and we ask you to keep us and guide us and direct us, Lord. Lord, get our hearts humble. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I believe we're in chapter 25, and I believe that we were at verse 13.
Yes.
And it's the judgment against the nations. And so verse 13 says, I will bring up the that land all my words which I may pronounce against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. When God is saying, even in this book, right, he instructed Jeremiah to write these things down. So when he say in this book, that was like, well, this wasn't even a book. He told him to write stuff down. And we know that the scrolls had gotten, we'll talk about that in a minute. The scrolls had gotten, burned but recreated. Okay, so pick up at verse 14, Nancy, 25 and 14.
For many nations and great kings shall make slaves even of them, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and the work of their hand.
Now when he say he's gonna make slaves, we're gonna go Isaiah 13. And this is the judgment of Babylon. So we know that Nebuchadnezzar and them all, did God's work. However, 13 and 19 says, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms and the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Solomon Gomorrah. It should never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from the generations to the generations. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold, but wild beasts in the desert. Hold on. I was reading and it just disappeared. One second. Wild beasts in the desert. Shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. So, taking into context, you tell me where Babylon is now. Does anybody know where Babylon is now?
Is it Iraq?
No, there's no Babylon. It's gone. It's no Babylon. It's desolate.
Okay.
There's no Babylon.
It's what?
No Babylon. It's desolate. Which means there's no, it's not there anymore. Because that's the judgment that they should have. Even though they were used as an instrument of destruction, they also had to pay for their actions. Go to verse 15. Jeremiah 26 and 15. 25. I'm sorry.
For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at mine hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad, because the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me.
Okay, so these verses are connected in Jeremiah chapter 46 through 51. The cup of fury is used in Jeremiah, according to Messler, 49 and 12 and 51 and 7. It is also used in, let's go see, Job.
Job. Okay.
I don't think Job has that many chapters. I could be incorrect. But I don't think Joel has that many chapters. Yeah, Joel only has 3 chapters. So we say Job 21 and 20. It says, his eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. If we go to, let's go to Ezekiel 23 and 31. Thou hast walked in the way of thy sister. Who is the sister? Israel. Therefore I will give her cup into thine hand. And thou, said the Lord, thou shalt drink of the sister's cup, deep and large. Thou shalt be laughed and scorned and derision in containing much Thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, and the cup of astonishment and desolation will be the cup of thy sister Samaria. I don't know how I got into the King James versions, but I'm going to go back. And let's go to New Testament. Let's go to Mark. Mark 10 and 39. Okay. And it says, and they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism which I am baptized, you will be baptized. So, what the author is, not the author, commentary is trying to say is that the cup of fury is also a synonym, or I pronounce this word. It's an idiom. Cannot think of how you pronounce it right now.
Idiom.
So the cup of fury can be a cup of blessing too. So in Mark 39, that's coming up like a cup of a blessing. It's going towards that. However, it's the same cup. The cup that for your destruction can be a cup for some people for blessings. And I'll give you an example in 1 second. Let me show you John 18 and 11. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword in the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that Father has given me? And Jesus is saying there, he knows he has to drink this, he has to take this punishment because that's his purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Luke 22 and 17 says, and he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. You know that this is during the time of the Last Supper. That's a blessing. So it can be used, the cup can be used either for wrath or fury or for blessing. It just depends on which cup God want to give you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. But the cup in Jeremiah is a cup of judgment.
Yes.
Okay.
The cup in Ezekiel is the cup of judgment too.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go back to Jeremiah 25 and 18.
And it says, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and officials, to make them a desolation and a waste, a hissing and a curse, as at this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his officials, all his people, and all the mixed tribes among them, all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the sons of Ammon, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, and the kings of the coastlands across the sea, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all who cut the corners of their hair, all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mixed tribes who dwell in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of Media, all the kings of the north, far and near, one after another, and all the kings of the world that are on the face of the earth, and after them, the king of Babylon shall drink.
So there's an order of how they all going to get punished. Mm-hmm. Then the Babylon's going to get this cup of fury. So all these people going to get this cup. Go ahead.
Then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk, and vomit. Fall and rise no more because of the sword that I am sending among you.
Okay, so let's pause. Let's go to, I want to go to Habakkuk. Yes, I do. Habakkuk 2. Read 2 and 16.
Habakkuk 2 and 16.
Uh-huh.
You will have your fill of shame instead of glory. Drink yourself and show your uncircumcision. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter shame will come upon your glory.
Okay, so now y'all see what he's talking about, right? Go back. Let's go back to Jeremiah 25, and I believe it's 28. Am I incorrect?
You are correct.
Okay.
And if they refuse to accept the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you must drink. For behold, I begin to work disaster at the city that is called by my name, and you shall go unpunished. You shall not go unpunished, for I am summoning a sword against all the inhabitants of the earth, declares the Lord of hosts.
Let's go to Obadiah. Okay. We finna go some places, y'all.
See.
There's only one chapter, so you shouldn't be able to say which chapter.
Okay, I'm going to get
Obadiah.
And Sister Ava, can you read that?
Well, as soon as I find it.
Okay. Look, it's after Ezekiel, it's after Daniel, it's after Hosea, it's after Joel, and it's right after Amos. Mm-hmm.
Right after Amos.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and what was it again?
Chapter 1, verse 16.
This is like this. Huh? It's like when you're looking at it, you just pass it right over.
Yep.
It's chapter
1,
18?
16.
16.
1:16.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For as you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations shall drink continually. They shall drink and swallow, and shall be as though they had never been. Mm.
That's it.
Okay.
So understand that the punishment that what he was talking about in 29 is saying that. You just, even though I used you for this, you still gonna get punished for doing the things that you went past what I asked you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, And this is not the judgment for the invading Jerusalem. This is for other things that he did. They did beyond what God told them to do. Okay? So you can look at Daniel 11 and 36 and Ezekiel 28 of what they actually did. Okay? Let's go back to Jeremiah 30, 25 and 30. Sorry.
You therefore shall prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high, and from his holy habitation utter his voice. He will roar mightily against his foe, and shout like those who tread grapes, against all the inhabitants of the earth. The clamor will resound to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against the nations. He is entering into judgment with all flesh, and the wicked he will put to the sword, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster is going forth from nation to nation, and a great tempest is stirring from the farthest parts of the earth. And those pierced by the Lord on that day shall extend from one end of the earth to the other. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried.
Okay, so I want you guys to see that verse 31, I'm going to go back. It says, the clamor will resound to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against, where Jeremiah 25 and 31. The clamor will resound to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against the nations. And of course, I like that word, indictment. An indictment means a formal charge. You have formally been in charged with this crime. It's not just an allegation. It's not just someone allegedly or accusing you. You have now been indicted, and you're going to stand trial for the things that you've done. Okay? These are formal charges. So I would like us to go to one thing I would like for us to look at is the lion and roaring on high. The commentary says that Satan is one who goes about the world like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. But we understand the lion is a representation of God. Okay, so he's the counterfeit. Okay, so if we go to Joel. The one, J-O-E-L.
Okay.
And we go to Joel, chapter 3. I want to first read verse 2. I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there, and on behalf of my people and my heritage of Israel, because they have scattered them among the nations and have divided them up on my land. So that's the judgment for Israel. So remember, everybody's all those lost tribes. Remember, they're not lost tribes, right? This right here says they were scattered. They were not destroyed like Babylon. They were scattered, which means that you can't, if you just scattered, you're not lost. You're somewhere. Okay. However, Babylon is going, we just found out that judgment, they're wiped out. You cannot find Babylon on the map. Okay. And they have cast lot for my people, and have traded a boy for a prostitute, and have sold a girl for wine, and have been drunk. So you know God is, the punishment is going to happen. Let's go down to verse 16.
Same Joel.
316. The Lord roars. You got me all messed up right now. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earthquake. But the Lord is a refuge to his people and a stronghold to the people of Israel. Because you always hear it's the Lion of Judah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, Satan might want to act like he a lion, but he's not a lion. He's still a snake.
Right.
At the end of the day.
He's still a snake.
Okay. Let's go to Amos, which is right after that book. Chapter 1, verse 2. This is the judgment on Israel's neighbors. Now, when Jeremiah is talking, he's talking about the judgment that's going to be paid for going against Judah. This is about Israel, okay? And he said that the Lord roared. Somebody said it for me.
Roars.
Thank you. From Zion, and uttered his voice from Jerusalem, and the pastors of the shepherds mourned at the top of the camel's withers. So this right there, that's God roaring for his people, and he's going to get judgment for those who did more than what he called them to do. Okay? Because he did use them to scatter them. They did get in trouble. Okay? Mm-hmm. So then, I wonder if I want to go here. Let me see. I don't need to go there. So let's go back to Jeremiah. And I went back to 25 and 31, because I wanted to talk about the indictment. So now they have been, now think about it. This is backwards, because how our process goes is, it's not backwards for God, but it's the process that we go through. You are accused of a crime. You are indicted. And then judgment is put on you. And then Jeremiah, he's saying, I'm indicting you and the judgment is already there. You didn't have a trial. You didn't have no due process was done here. Okay. You've done wrong. I'm going to get you for it. I didn't forget. My words are not going to come void. I just used it for a couple of seconds to do what I need you to do. And which is, I wish Pastor was here, because it's kind of what his story he just sent me. I'm going to use you for what I'm going to use you for, and then I'm going to get you for doing the other stuff that I didn't instruct you to do. Okay?
So you always have to pay.
Yeah, you're going to pay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I think you stopped at what verse, Nancy?
32.
Yeah.
32.
Yeah.
Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster is coming forth the nation into nation, and the greatest tempest is stirring from the farthest part of the earth. Jeremiah is telling these people what God is telling him. Okay? Right. Now go to verse 33.
And those pierced by the Lord on that day shall extend from one end of the earth to the other. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall be dung on the surface of the ground. Wail, you shepherds, and cry out, and roll in ashes, you lords of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and dispersion have come, and you shall fall like a choice vessel. No refuge will remain for the shepherds, nor escape for the lords of the flock. A voice, the cry of the shepherds, and the wail of the lords of the flock. For the Lord is laying waste their pasture, and the peaceful folds are devastated because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Like a lion, he has left his lair, for their land has become a waste because of the sword of the oppressor, and because of his fierce anger.
Amen. So, I want you to understand that, of course, I said at the beginning of this study that Jeremiah is not what? The book of Jeremiah is not, it's not chronological. So, we're going to chapter 26. Because remember last week I told you chapter 24 came after chapter 25.
Right.
So, chapter 26 comes before 25. Okay?
Chronologically.
Okay, so I want Nancy to stay in chapter 26.
Okay,
but I would like for Stacy to go to chapter 7 of Jeremiah, and you will understand why in a minute.
You're saying
26:7? No, we staying at 26.
Okay,
Stacy's going to chapter 7.
Okay,
just for teaching purposes. Okay. I want you to understand that Jeremiah is saying all this stuff, and the false prophets are saying something different. So when somebody is saying something different from the crowd, you're committing heresy. You are basically saying that these people are saying you're not of God. Okay? When we learn in chapter 26, there's going to be a twist to it, and it's amazing. I was doing a lot of research and cannot find the story anywhere else that I found, and I find that amazing, but that's fine. We'll get to it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, let's go to verse 1, Nancy.
Okay.
No. Stacy, read chapter 7, Jeremiah 7 and 12 for me.
Go now to my place that was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel.
Okay, go ahead.
And now, because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen. And when I called you, you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house that is called by my name and in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did in Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, and I will cast all your kinsmen, all the offspring of Ephraim.
Okay. Now, let's go to Jeremiah 26. And you read the first couple of verses.
Okay. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord.
So, let's understand. In the beginning, Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, is king. Let's go back to 24 of Jeremiah. After the king had taken exile from Jerusalem, Jehoiakim is Jeconiah, the son of is there. So you can see that makes sense why 26 would be before 25, which means that it's before 24 too.
Right.
Okay, I just want you to see that because I know Nancy likes to make sure she stay in order. Okay? Can you follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Okay, wait a minute.
You have verse 2.
Wait a minute, hold on.
24:2?
She had a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
What'd you say?
Well, no, I hadn't heard that before, the about the chronological...
Jeremiah is not in order.
Right, but I studied it, and I hadn't heard that, so it's really interesting.
Right, so...
Keep up with you, you said 24:2 is where you're going now?
So, when I went to 24, Nebuchadnezzar's already there.
Okay.
If you go back to 26, Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah's just died, and Jehoiakim is the king.
Okay.
Well, Josiah never met Nebuchadnezzar. So if you read it as you see it, you can see 26 had to happen before 25. And we talked in class last week that 24 came after 25. So we have to understand that 26 came before 25.
Okay.
So I make sure that everybody understands it's not in order. Because if you trying to figure out the order of things, Jeremiah is not written for order. It's written, they put it together the way they put it together. However, the word is still the word, but I try to keep chronological order so people can follow the timeline, because we had already did kings, and we know that Josiah had already died in order for his son to be the king. So if they say in the beginning of the reign, Hebrews decide the time period on who's the king, and not like years like we are. So they won't say 609. They'll say, oh, at the beginning of Hezekiah's reign. So we know it's during that period. Now, outside of the Hebrew nation, they might say it is, and I'm making up a number because it's not the right number, but they might say it's 1559. But they do determine what the time period is depending on the reign of the king. And that's how they told the story. So we know that Josiah, if we go back at the beginning of Jeremiah's book, we know that Jeremiah started his ministry when Josiah was alive. So in order to say that, if we go back to chapter 24, we see that Nebuchadnezzar is there. Josiah has been assassinated. So I just wanted to make sure that I pointed that out, so everybody just would take my word for it that 26 went before 25 and 24, so you can see it for yourself.
Thank you for explaining
that. Oh, always. Just if you don't understand something, stop me. Okay?
We're going into chapter 26 now. 26.
Yeah. So, 26 says, now mind you, he's outside of the outer court saying this. Go ahead.
Verse 2. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord, all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not hold back a word. It may be they will listen, and everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds.
So he gave them an opportunity again. He said, go out there and tell them so they can hear for themselves. I'm not going to depend on your shepherds and your priests, you know what I'm saying, and the kings this time. You go out there when they finna have a feast time and they come into worship during this time so they can hear for themselves what I said. And they can turn. And if they turn, he always give you that if clause, then I'm going to stop what I was going to do to them.
He's talking about he's telling Jeremiah to do these things, yeah, right? Yes. Okay, I'm just trying to keep up, making sure I'm following.
God is telling Jeremiah to go outside and stand, because you know the people can't come into the church, to the temple, to go out there and tell them what you just told the priest and them in chapter 7.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And see if they will relent. And maybe the disaster that I intended for them will stop. Go ahead.
Verse 4, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law that I have set before you and to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets whom I send to you urgently, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh and I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth.
You see why I said number 7, he's repeating the verses in chapter 7, because that's what he had to tell the other people. Mm-hmm. He said, don't diminish one word. So that means it's going to be like Shiloh, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where that was the actual location where Israel had the Ark of the Covenant there, remember? The land, until it was moved to Solomon's Temple, okay? The land is now desolate. There's nothing there. It's not used for a temple, right? During that time. So that's what he wants them to understand. So we're going to go down to verse 7.
The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant?
So let me make this point. They're making this, the prophets are making this posture because they believe that just like when Hezekiah was under attack, Israel was confronted and God was going to deliver them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to Isaiah so you can see it. 37. Go all the way down to 36. And the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, they were dead. And then the king of Assyria departed and returned home and lived in Nineveh. They thought that that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they wasn't that lucky because Hezekiah was a good king.
Right.
When he found out they was doing wrong, he repented. He put that sackcloth on. He did what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are not doing that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, why would you go back to Jeremiah 26? They were like, well, why would you say that? Because now they're trying to say that he's committing heresy. He's lying, right?
Because somebody else told him something different.
They trying to take history and apply it. They follow prophets. Yeah. So they don't want Jeremiah telling these people the truth.
True.
I'm sorry, I missed the Isaiah book and verse.
Oh, I'm sorry. 37. 36 through 37.
Okay.
And that's, if you read up before that, you'll hear where Hezekiah did what God told him to do, and God basically took care of the people before they even woke up. They thought that that's what was going to happen here because they know their history, and God ain't never telling them that.
Got it.
Okay?
Got it.
All right. Now, let's go back to verse 9, 26 and 9. No, you already did 9,
well,
right?
I gotta read that last little part.
Okay, go ahead.
And it said, and all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord.
So people listening, go ahead.
Verse 10, when the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, this man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you.
Okay, so let's...
You're so hard-headed.
Because, but everybody hard-headed.
Every time you give them a warning, they just...
Because everybody else is saying... So you got all these other prophets. We talked about this last week. You got all these other prophets say he got a blessing with his your name on it. He wants you to have all these cars and all these houses. And God ain't never said none of that. Everybody can't have all these cars and houses. How who gonna afford it? Who gonna be the workers? You can't. Everybody can't have prosperity. That is not what.
That's too much ear. You know.
That's a lot of people talking. But if somebody coming on the other end and saying this. No, you got to repent. Y'all got to stop doing all this extra stuff. God ain't tell y'all to do all this stuff. You don't want to hear. You want to hear what's good. Don't nobody want to hear no bad news. But and they human just like, I don't want, if you coming with bad news, I don't want to hear it because I want to be in my bubble. But however, if I'm doing something wrong, I got to hear it.
And that's right. The thing. It's so the accountability that he's saying. It's like, turn from your ways.
And he's not the only prophet saying this.
Exactly.
Every prophet.
Yes, ma'am.
I take it as if you really want to follow God, that you will have an ear open to hear the bad news.
Correct.
Because most of us do. It is a me society, and we want our way.
Correct.
Yeah, we want our way.
Deuteronomy 18 and 20 says, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, the same prophet shall die. Now, Jeremiah already knew that people were going to come against him and God was going to protect him. Mm-hmm. So Jeremiah stood 10 toes down because he knew if I'm lying, God's going to kill me anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to kill me, try it. Mm-hmm. I ain't finna die because God promised me. I know what God told me to tell. So he ain't died. So he must have been speaking the truth. That's a lot of confidence to know in God, to know that I'm speaking the truth and y'all lying. And so you want to kill me, you know, go ahead and kill me. Because if I get killed, that means I'm lying.
Right.
Okay. But this is the funny part. It's not funny, but let's go and keep reading to see the turn of events. Yes, ma'am. Back to Jeremiah.
Jeremiah what?
Jeremiah 26. And 13.
Okay, 13.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears.
Okay, let's go to Matthew.
Matthew.
Of course we got to go to Matthew because it sounds so familiar, don't it? 27
and
24. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us, our children. Then go to Acts.
Wow.
Acts 5.
They're going to take responsibility. He was like, put the blood on us.
I ain't gonna tell you put nobody blood on. I don't know what you did. Okay?
Acts what?
5:28. Okay. And when I'm gonna start at 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostle answers, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. And God exalted him at his right hand, a leader and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of the sins. And we are witness to these things. So in the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. So you can go down. You can see that when God sends you, you stand 10 toes down against even among death. Now, I'm not saying that we are those type of Christians that are going to want to do that, but some people do. Okay. So when we left off, we were on Jeremiah 25:15. Before we get to Jeremiah 26:16, I want to say something. There is a process in the United States called due process. Due process does not seem to happen in this time period. People make allegations and they cast judgments against you. Ain't no trial, ain't no jury. The king said, cut your head off, it's done. He might listen for a minute. However, that is not how God set it up. Because remember, Solomon was a judge. And he would listen and make that's a due process type of thing. Their due process is different than our due process. Our due process, allegedly, is that you get an allegation is made, you get indicted, you get charged, and then you have a jury of your peers allegedly make a decision on things that you've supposedly done, and then you get judgment. That depends on who you are, okay?
She told that one.
I mean, just depends on who you are, how the due process things work. Our due process is different than some other people's due process. My due process is not the same for me in my counterpart. Okay, just being honest, that's the truth. Okay, so what could have happened and was happening in the past during this time is that they made an allegation, they said heresy, and the person has died. This time, due process is initiated by the civil authorities. So Jeremiah is spared because of the people. So let's go to verse 16.
Gotcha.
26:16.
Mm-hmm. Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, "This man does not deserve the sins of death, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." And certain of the elders of the land arose and spoke to all the assembled people, saying, "Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and said to all the people of Judah, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height."
Okay, so let's go to Micah. Yeah. 3. No, take that back. I want to go to Micah 1 first.
So now we got people defending Jeremiah.
Yep.
So we got Micah 1 and what?
1.
Oh, 1 and 1.
The word of the Lord that came to Micah, Amoshef, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, when he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. So now we know when Micah was had his ministry. Okay? So they mentioned specifically, the officials specifically talked about when he was ministering during Hezekiah's days. Mm-hmm. We know Hezekiah was a good king, correct?
Yes.
He listened. So we're going to go to Micah 3 and 1. And I said, hear your heads of Jacob and the rulers of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know justice? So you know Jacob and Judah is the same people. And the house of Israel, right? Is the, you know, we know that they're two different, right? Okay. You who hate the good and love evil, who tear the skin from off my people and the flesh from their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them and break their bones in pieces and chop them up like meat in a pot, like a fresh cauldron. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time because they have made their deeds evil. Thus said the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing in their mouths. Therefore, it shall be night to you without vision and darkness to you without divination, that the sun shall go down on the prophets and that day shall be black over them. The seer shall be disgraced and the divirers put to shame, and they shall all cover their lips for there no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with the power, with the spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, you heads of house of Jacob and the rulers of Israel, who detest justice, who make crooked all that is straight, who have built Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. It is the head gives judgment for a bribe. Its priests teach for a price. The prophets practice divination for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, "This it is not the Lord the midst of us. No disaster shall come of us." Therefore, you, Zion, shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins and the mountain of the house of wooded height. Now, Micah was ministering during Hezekiah's time. He prophesied what's going to, what's happening during Jeremiah's time. So Hezekiah knew why he had to take care of some things.
Yeah.
And they still ain't listening. Jeremiah wasn't the first prophet to tell y'all this was going to happen. He just happened to be the person why it was happening. Because, I mean, he's telling them before it happens, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay? He's not the first person to say this is going to happen. Okay, so let's go back to Jeremiah. And you know what? Before we go back to Jeremiah, we might as well go to 2 Chronicles. I'm going to start at verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he answered him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. Therefore, the wrath came upon him in Judah and Jerusalem. But Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Judah, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That the reason why Micah's pronunciation didn't happen during Hezekiah's time is because Hezekiah humbled himself. Does not mean that the prophecy wasn't going to happen. It just got delayed because if you go back to Jeremiah in any other book, he always gives you an option to repent, to relent, to stop him from doing what he said he's going to do. He gives you an if clause. If you do this, I'll do that. If you don't do this, I won't do this. It's always a choice. Yes, ma'am.
2 Chronicles, I missed the chapter and the verse.
32, and I started at 24.
Okay,
through 26.
Thank you.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So now, when we get to verse 19, Jeremiah 26 and 19, it'll make sense. Let's go there.
Jeremiah 26:19. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord? And did not the Lord relent of the disaster that he had pronounced against them? But we are about to bring great disaster upon ourselves.
Ding, ding, ding. Did I just say that? Go ahead.
Verse 20. There was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah, from Kiriath-Jearim. He prophesied against this city and against this land in words like those of Jeremiah.
Okay, so stop. Some version might have his name Urijah. And it's not the same Uriah from in Kings and Chronicles. I tirelessly researched this man, and the only account about him and his prophecy is in Jeremiah, which for me was really odd, because usually when they're talking about a prophet, it's always another reference somewhere in the Bible. Yeah. But it's only did my research. This man is only spoken about Jeremiah. And the reason why they're using him is because he was a prophet and he said the same thing as Jeremiah, and we're going to read about what happened to him. Go ahead.
Verse 21. And when King Jehoiakim with all his warriors and all the officials heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard of it, he was afraid and fled and escaped to Egypt. Then King Jehoiakim sent to Egypt certain men, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and others with him, and they took Uriah from Egypt and brought him to King Jehoiakim, who struck him down with a sword and dumped his dead body into the burial place of the common people. But the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, so that he was not given over to the people to be put to death.
See why they said, the people was like, this just happened, and we're not going to let happen to Jeremiah what happened to Uriah or Urijah. This is the same king. He was part of, he had an embassy in Egypt, so he was able to go into Egypt and get him back.
And take Uriah.
And take Uriah and kill him. They cut his head off. And so, and did not give him a prophet's burial. They took his head off and did not bury him like he should be buried. So because he told what God said, and now Jeremiah is saying the same thing, people say, hold up, I started this about due process. They say, no, y'all not gonna do Jeremiah like you did Uriah. Mm-hmm. But Jeremiah said, I'm gonna stand 10 toes down. I'm not going nowhere. Uriah was like, God, I said what I had to say. They finna kill me. I'm getting out of Dodge. I said what I'm supposed to say. Okay?
And they got him.
And they went and got him. So the people stopped and said, no, y'all not going to do Jeremiah like that. Because Uriah just died telling y'all the same thing.
Yeah.
Why would Jeremiah do that knowing that this man just died?
Yeah.
Because God got to be talking to him.
Yeah.
Okay?
To know that that is the potential threat. That is what will happen to you if you say this. You got to have faith in God to know, I'm about to say the same thing that got this man killed, and now I'm going to fall right behind him and say the same thing.
I'm going.
But Jeremiah did say, he said, well, if you're going to kill me, then he said that.
So now you understand why this is one of the reasons why this line is going to have that blood curse. Because you can just kill the prophet. Remember, they talked about, you've done evils, and I'm going to get you for these evils, right? Yeah. And so, let me go somewhere. Second Kings. I want to make, I'm sending it out to my head. 1 minute.
Then, what's the name that had those other priests killed when he was running away? David
did that on accident.
Yeah.
He didn't mean to get the Solomon looking for him.
Yeah, but
he didn't mean to get them killed.
And Solomon killed those priests.
Yeah.
Not Solomon.
Solomon.
That was Saul.
Yeah.
Solomon did a lot of things, but he didn't kill no
priests. I didn't mean to say that.
Girl, you about to get Kim. You putting on, we can't be putting on no misinformation. Let's see. I wanted to make a point. Hold on. That point might not get there. Okay. So we do know that that line is going to get in trouble for all the atrocities that they've done to the people. So we're done with Jeremiah 26. We see that Jeremiah has come before the people, was just almost about to die. Okay? When we come back, we will start Jeremiah 27. Okay? Before I end the class, is there a question about something that we just read in 26 that somebody needs cleared up? You do understand why we went to those other chapters. And we see that how Micah gave a pronouncement, how judgment was supposed to go before them, but because of Hezekiah the king, the pronouncement got deferred. But Micah's pronouncement of his prophecy, and Jeremiah, and now we know about Uriah's prophecy, and we know Ezekiel's prophesying later on, because we know Ezekiel ain't come on the scene yet. Everybody's saying the same thing. Okay, remember Ezekiel is in chapter 24, where Nebuchadnezzar is there, because he went on the second wave. But we now know there was another prophet, because remember we kept reading saying there was prophets that were saying these things. Now we know of another prophet that died as a martyr for what God was telling him to say. Okay? I think he had a similar death as Isaiah, if I recall, of dismemberment. Okay?
Somebody shows doing some horrible things.
But see, when back then, you know, their punishment, it was just death. You know, we got a chance. I mean, they had a chance too.
But have to think about the Jewish rule. They were still an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. They took the rules to an extreme, and they weren't even following the rules. They were actually practicing Gentile stuff. Because even in the rules, remember we talked about this. What book did we talk about this? Can't remember. But there are specific rules on how you handle certain things. Remember, Nancy, we talked about that there was a place where you could get asylum if you stayed in the city. We was talking about in...
Was it Judges?
No, it wasn't Judges. It was...
We can go to like a city if you kill someone.
Yeah. Joshua. Refuge. When we were in Joshua. City refuge. Joshua was, they were setting up cities of refuge, and there was stuff in, Joshua, because we've been through, we started again in Joshua and went all the way down to where we at now, and there were cities that you could go in and you know, if you killed somebody or whatever, on accident or whatever. So there are rules set for them to do it. So what the king was doing is not even part of the rules. Now, mind you, they can't say they don't know what the rules are, because Josiah has found
the book of law. Yeah.
So you can't say you don't know no more, because they weren't practicing, because they lost the books. But either way, with the telling, the verbal telling, they knew that there were rules they're supposed to follow. So you know you ain't supposed to kill. If you want to go all the way back to David, you ain't supposed to touch the anointed, right? You ain't supposed to kill them. And they were killing people because they didn't want to hear what God was telling them, because they were evil. They were not following God's word. They were following the people outside them. Okay?
And they could impose the threat. Like, if you know that you're going to get killed for speaking that, you would probably be afraid to speak it. Like, even if you knew you had to, you would probably be more afraid to speak it, because you know you're going to be faced, death.
If they had just killed Uriah, why would I go say something? Yes, right. Ma'am.
I was just wondering how you tied Matthew into this.
with that. You had a point. Was it just because the witch column didn't want to wash his hands of that crucifixion?
It was another. Okay. So there's always a mirror. And what I was trying to point out is that this is not the only incident where they said an innocent blood is going to be shed.
Oh,
and
okay.
Pilate said the same thing.
Gotcha.
So they're similar, where it's Jeremiah said, you're going to shed the innocent blood? Let's do it. Whereas Pilate said, if you want to shed this innocent person, which he's talking about Jesus' blood, I don't have nothing to do with it. Okay, and so that's why I was using it as an analogy, and that's why I said about Uriah, I was finding it hard that I could not find any scriptures to talk about this Uriah, because there's other Uriahs in the book. Mm-hmm. But this person was important because he was actually a prophet, and he died as a martyr. Okay, any other questions? All right.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
This is a friend of mine's, Christine. She's the teacher. Venus.
Hold on 1 second. Let me pray, and then we can get that done. Heavenly Father, we come right now. We thank you, God, for being here. We thank you, God, for covering us and keeping us. God, we ask you for us to be able to feast on this word. We thank you for all those who are listening. Protect us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN Network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.